WHM monitoring.
This is 0TR. Just gonna head outside here in a minute. I just fired up the HF rig, see if anything was on, and oh, there's a little bit on, but not a great deal.
I was listening to the 3.915 about two guys fussing at each other about profanity on the radio. I listened to them for a little bit and finally got tired of hearing them argue.
A good thing to stay away from, and it happens far too often. That's why I don't do too much sideband. Oh, anyways, I just heard an old boy, and I started to answer him and tell him I brought his call sign up. I was just thumbing through 10 megacycle band there, and 30 meters, which is CW. When, as soon as I brought it up, I thought, well, I'll grab him, and I heard you, and he disappeared. He's up on the lake there near Evanston, Illinois, Chicago, in that area. I'm gonna say he was born in 1939. I think he's got a couple of years on me.
Yeah, that'd make him in his 80s. My quick math is correct.
Let's see, 48, 39, 9 years old. He'd be 82. Something like that. Oh, but I'm looking at all across 30 meters, and it's dead, and that's all CW. He was clear as a bell, of course. And I just fired it up a few minutes ago, and I worked Bill in New Mexico, Jim in California, and this guy, Bill was at 14270, so he was sideband, and Jim was 21366, Whiskey 6 Echo, and Whiskey 6 Hotel was the other one. And then this Kilo 4 Alpha was in Alabama, and I worked him on 40 meters CW. Just kind of checking to see if the antenna was all tuning around different bands. Nothing on 80 right now, CW, anyways. And I didn't try any of the other bands. I just wanted to fire this stuff up and see if it was working, Bill. Well, I didn't know you was a referee. Boy, that was some good pictures.
I was there as first aid and radio operator. They use ham radio operators to communicate in the stadium on game days for all the first aid and transports and stuff like that. So that's what I was doing Saturday.
Oh, that's nice. Well, I'll have to demote you then. I wrote the daughter and sent her those pictures of you and told her you was a referee. I bet you didn't get paid as much as the referees.
All volunteer. And I did do some refereeing between a couple of ETOH, i.e. drunk people, getting them calmed down, but nothing on the football field. But we just do, we communicate back to a DOC center, and they've got us tied in with all the other communications, and we can, that's the only way you can talk on game day. You, of course, you can't use a cell phone. It's too many people, so they've been using ham radio operators for about 40-plus years at the UGA Stadium.
Yeah, I was just kidding. I bet you them referees get paid pretty good. I guess they would. I know the big league guys do. Oh, shoot, Bill. Well, boy, Bernice made us a beautiful meal. I love them orange pork chops. And I say that to people and I think, oh, that don't sound good. I got to tell you, it is.
Pretty good. It's going to be a lot better than my bowl of Cheerios and banana I'm going to have here in a few minutes.
That kind of sucks. I don't know if mine was heart healthy, but I had them trees, what do you call them, green things, cauliflower, and then green, the other green things with it. Oh, I always get produced, I call them trees, so now I can't think of the name of them. And they're a vegetable. And then we had breaded tomatoes with it, and some bread, and a big old glass of milk, and oh, the pork chop were so good, we bought them over Costco's the other day. And, guys, I forget how many's in there. And she just freezes them separately, you know, and draws a vacuum on them, and then takes a couple out at a time. They was big. And normally I like thin ones, but these are pretty good size. You can cut them almost with a fork.
Yeah, my Cheerios you can pick up with a spoon. And, you don't drop but one or two at a time.
Here comes the War Department down now.
Hey, now that sounds like an awful, awful good meal. But yeah, I eat Cheerios and bananas three times a week for dinner. That's part of my, I don't even call it a diet, that's just what I eat, and helps me keep my weight down, because when I was at my heaviest, I got up to about 280 plus pounds, and me and the doctor decided that it was in our best interest for me to lose a little weight, so I've lost a little over 50 pounds, and I've just changed my eating habits.
TR? Yeah, I sent you a picture there. I just fired all this up to make sure it's still working, because it's getting towards the fall. Things should pick up. Well, Bill, I think that's a good idea what we do. Let me turn this background down. I seen a thing on the band scope there, and somebody was calling CQ, but I just clicked over on it just now. I'd had a problem with it, and my friend come over here and got it straightened out with a virtual comm port. And he's just brilliant on that stuff, and I'm not. But that was a simple fix, thank God. And enjoyed having him up here. The station's all working good. And there was something else I was going to tell you, and I don't know what it was. Turned this thing down. Oh, shoot, I'll think of it. I think my short-term memory started to go.
I think it happens to all of us from time to time. Our brain's working faster than we can keep up with it. And it's already moved on. If things go right, the first Tuesday, actually, in October, I'm going to take my general test.
And I'm glad to hear that, Bill. Well, they're showing an OE3 kilowatt on here. You'll pass it. You'll do it with flying colors. 14311. Let me dial that in while I got it in my head. Just to see if there's any propagation across the pond there. Let's see. That's Austria. I think they're just doing a contest, Bill. But I'm not sure. Let me see how much power I got here. Let's see if he can... See if I can get back to Austria here. They're just giving signal report. Hang on a second. Fine business. Thank you very much. Glad to hear you on there. 73.
That's good. 73. Is QRZ.
Yeah, that was Austria, Bill.
Good contact.
That right now is a good contact. He's on 14311. He's loud and clear. What's 2228 Zulu. All I got's paper down here right now. Oh, I don't? I got the other computer down here. Anyways, yeah, I was surprised. I haven't, you know, been hearing much DX. Turn the radio on. Fire it up. Oh, I'm sorry, Bill. You got to pass that test next week. I think that's in your band, though.
See, I'll have to look, but I'm looking forward to getting that test taken. I've listened and ready to start transmitting. I try to get on two or three times a week and spin the dial and see what I can hear in the evening. As usually always somebody talking. I found three or four frequencies that a lot of people talk on, so make sure everything's still working, at least receiving anyway. I'm ready for the test. Just I thought about even doing it online with Zoom, but they make you have your Zoom session, and then you have to set your phone up where it's watching you on another Zoom session so they can watch you and make sure you're not cheating. And that's to me just too much work. So I'll just wait till the next 3 weeks or so, whatever it is, and get it done in person.
A lot better, I do. That's him there. And I looked here, Bill, 14225 to 14350. And he's just making contacts for a contest of some kind. And didn't see what town in Austria. But at any rate, I always liked to work Austria. Shelley, the oldest daughter, went to school over there in Vienna.
Far peace from home.
It's not uncommon when there's some sunspots. Well, there's about 100 sunspots here this last week. It's just really starting to go up if it'll continue. It seems like lately it starts up and then it takes a tank. Let's see, bearing 44.2 degrees, 4,821 miles. You like to get those ones out there off of the east coast of Africa. The west coast. No, the east coast. Out in there, you know. I used to just name you all them, you know, like the Seychelles Islands and all those. Those are up almost halfway around the Earth, Bill. They're getting up there 10,000, 11,000 miles.
Good trip, for sure. It amazes me the hops it takes and will take to make those contacts. The more I study and learn, the more interested I get. And just got your picture on my watch. My phone's in the house, but it come up on my watch, so I see your station all lit up.
Fired up since 8:28, so not too long, but I worked a Russian and a guy from Costa Rica and some things there just for the fun of it one day, but Russia's not too uncommon, especially that CW. They got some of the best CW operators in the world, and I'm not one to brag on Russians, if you know what I mean.
I guess they don't have much else to do over there. I imagine learning that's something for them to do and practice a lot. I just can't imagine they have many other freedoms. So I guess the ones they have, they get good at.
When I got on, even back in 93, when I first got on, I got a lot of cards from over there. I mean, gosh, I could have tons of them if I wanted them, but I just don't send for them anymore. But they come through the bureau, a lot of them. But the paper was even, you could tell it in a minute, from the paper because it was so poor. And but I got some pictures of guys beside reciprocating aircraft from World War II that you wouldn't believe. And I have to show you sometime. But you can just pick the paper up and look at it and tell that those folks had it kind of tough. And I'm sure they're monitored very closely, although I get a lot of stations around Moscow. It's not uncommon at all. But they're real good to send cards out, and they're real good offers. A lot of them would go down to a community building where they had a old tube radio, and they work good. Don't misunderstand me. And you'd operate one, and then you'd have a pile up because there'd be quite a few operators down there at that one station, only with their calls, you know. And that's how they done it a few years back. So I don't know how much that's changed now or not.
The exchange student that worked with my sister-in-law while she was here in college, I guess it was an exchange student, it was some program, but she worked with my sister-in-law because she was a doctor, or becoming a doctor. And this was back in the late 90s, but she told me that working as a doctor, when she got everything settled, that she could afford to eat out once a week. That's how little they got paid. And I know I don't know whatever happened to all of it, but we loaded her up with stuff to carry back home with her. Blue jeans, Levi blue jeans were like the most sought after thing you could get. We got her three or four different sizes for women, and so she could do some trading when she got home. But it was quite a interesting story sitting around and talking with her. She stayed with my sister-in-law for about a month, and her husband, and we'd always go over at dinner and talk with her, and she'd tell us stories of growing up and what it was like. And I tell you, people just don't understand. Land of the free and home of the brave.
Well, I just clicked on this other station here. It's Delta Alpha station. I recognized it as Germany. It's Rosenheim, Germany. And Shelley went to school over there, too, in music quite a few years ago. But it says Club Station Bavarian Contest Club, so they... But Germany's a lot wealthier off. I was trying to think that one place over there in Russia that there's so many moony places. But I used to hear this guy all the time. And I wondered what in the world it'd be like living over there. There's so many of those countries over there now that you can't keep them all straight. But this one was, you know where I'm talking about, up in northern Russia, where it's Mongolia. Yeah, that guy was on CW quite a bit. And that's out in the boondocks up above China.
Yeah, that's definitely isolated country, that's for sure. Now, is there any, do you know if there's any, ham radio CW operations out of Tibet?
Girl TR. You know, Bill, I don't know. I didn't know Tibet still... Does it still exist?
So, I was... I don't know how old it was, but I was reading an article just the other day on why planes don't fly over that part of the world because it's so high, and the only airport that you can make an emergency landing on is above 10,000 feet, so there's very few planes that'll fly over that region because of the oxygen levels in case of an emergency landing. I got sucked into an article and read about it a good bit, but it was talking about the, you know, of course, the terrain. If a plane had to go down or drop altitude, they couldn't get low enough where they didn't have to have oxygen. So I just thought, being that high, if they were on ham radio, they ought to be able to get out a good signal.
Yeah, that makes sense. Let me turn this radio down. I just barely hear him in Germany today. I know, Bill, when they took us as flight crews and even the pilots and co-pilots, they put us in a barometric chamber up at Miramar Naval Air Station up there, Fighter Town, USA, where they made that famous movie. They had this spherical chamber they put us in, and they took us up to 20,000 without any masks on, and your fingers start turning blue, and then they put your mask on, all except for the guy sitting in seat number 13. Don't ever sit in seat number 13. And they give him one of these magic markers on one of those erase boards and told him to write his name at 30,000. And he did, and they said, they waited about 30 seconds, maybe not that long, said, write your name again. And he did, and the letters were about 6 inches high. And then they said, write it again, and he started crying and says, I want my mommy.
Deprivation will get you in a hurry. It'll put you in another state of mind in a quick minute.
At 20,000, our fingers were turning blue. I've been up in the Cleveland National Forest hunting mountain quail at around 12,000, my brother told me. But boy, you didn't want to walk up a very big hill. You got winded. But at any rate, I remember that like it was yesterday. I want my mommy. And he didn't realize it, hypoxia, you know. But I think my nephew said that anytime, they get to a certain height with the commercial airlines, he flies 787s, and he's flown a lot of other ones. Flight crews have to have their oxygen masks on continuously, above, I think it's 40,000. It might be less than that. And that's because if they get a explosive decompression, they wouldn't have time to get it over there and get it on before they lost consciousness, Bill.
I've heard that as well, and you get up that high and you're just you're dying and you don't know it without oxygen, and before you realize it, like I said, oxygen deprivation, hypoxia, you don't even have time to do anything about it. And for the passengers, that's why they have to descend so quick to get below 10,000 feet. Most commercial airliners only have about 20 minutes of oxygen for a full plane.
Any kind of solid or something that generates those oxygen generators for the passengers, if I remember rightly. I was surprised by that. But, another one coming on here. Goodyear, Arizona, Whiskey 6 Tango. And I forgot the frequency of it. They're running that Route 66, 72661. Hang on a second. Enter 07266. And that'd be lower sideband. See if I can hear him, see what 40 meters is doing, Bill. There we go. hear a lot of noise, all I hear over there. I thought maybe that'd be clear as a bell.
I think you could hear that clear if you could get to Austria. I know it's a different frequency, but you never know.
Count for nothing, Bill. It's magic. You just never know. That is Ronald Gerlach in Goodyear, Arizona. They do a thing every year, and it's kind of like working the 13 colonies. They do that every year. And they have one-by-one calls. So he's Whiskey 6 Tango. And I haven't bothered with it, but I got a certificate a few years ago from it, just for the fun of it, because I lived near Route 66. We did for many years. You run right through Joplin, Missouri, you know. So all up and down Route 66, they got stations set up.
I'm not old enough to remember it, but they tell me, and I read and hear that before the interstates, that was a road to travel.
You know, we didn't travel on it for long distances because they had I-44 down there then, but we did have to travel on it to get over to I-44 a lot of times. And it's pretty gone now, shall we say. But there is remnants of the old filling stations and stuff like that. And there, I'm sure, tourist traps along the way. I kind of think that's what my brother drove to California on when he first joined the Navy back in the late 50s. And I don't know if the interstate was available then or not, but I know him and another guy drive straight through. And that's saying something from out there.
I can't imagine driving straight through, even on today's roads. That's a long trip. A lot of sleepless driving.
I drove through from Pittsburgh, Kansas to Washington, D.C. straight through twice. I'd never do it again. And I think it was 1,100 miles. And these are just guesses from years ago. And we did it in 19.2 hours.
That just don't sound like fun. My old boss that retired last year, he was from outside of Anchorage, Alaska. And when they moved down here, they sent all their stuff and cars except for their RV ahead. And him and his wife and his dog drove from Anchorage to here, and that was quite a trip for them. They could at least pull over in their RV and sleep, eat, whatever, rest. But it was, he said that was a long drive from Anchorage to Athens, Georgia.
So that's just totally. This guy's not too clear. Let's see what he may sound like. That's a long way. I can't. Norway Zero Tango Radio. Didn't get him. Somebody overrode me. That guy's in Flagstaff, Arizona. Zero Tango Radio. You're right, Bill. It don't matter how much power you got, you just jump right over them.
Yeah. And you maybe just bounce them right over top of him.
I'm not one to fight him on sideband. It's not that important. I just like to see if the propagation's there. And there's a real pile up on that guy. He's in Flagstaff, Arizona. He says he's up in the mountains.
If he's making contacts, I'm sure as sporadic as it's been lately, if somebody hears him and they're going to try to work him, that's for sure.
I can undoubtedly get through to him. Might have to kick the...
Okay, great.
He's got a loud signal, so I could make it, but probably a lot of other ones on there got louder signals and big old beams.
Yeah, if they got directionals, that helps. You on your super loop, or which antenna are you running right now?
You know, that's a good idea. Let me switch. Let me try that. He sounds weaker on it, but it might be better. Let's see what, I'll try him on the super loop. He's turning his beam. Norway Zero, Tango Radio. November Zero, Tango Radio. Norway Zero, Tango Radio. Nope, didn't work, Bill.
It was worth a try.
Well, he was louder on the, I'll go over to the other one now. Tune in. And I think he's louder over here. Norway Zero, Tango Radio, Tango Radio.
Whiskey 5, Tango Sugar, November.
Now that's your station. That's when you know you're outgunned, Bill. I'm done fooling with it. I just thought it'd be fun. Whew. I don't know how many watts that guy's running.
I don't know, it's been several weeks ago, 10 meters was open, and there was a guy running, he was running 1,500 watts out of Chicago, and he sounded like he was sitting in a room with me, and I looked him up on QRZ, and he was quite a pistol, but never could make contact with him. He was talking to too many people with too much power for me.
Well, a lot of those guys, especially those content stations and stuff like that, they got some real power and they got huge beams. Steve up there's got him a beam like I used to have up in Kansas, and it's just an incredible beam as far as I'm concerned. Now, there's probably people that argue that, but I had a Mosley, and it's an old-time company, and their antennas are heck bent for stout, and the only bad part up there was we didn't get ice in those loading coils. It really caused it to, you know, bow down a lot. And they had ice down here. But I would go with the log periodic like ND7J has. And to get a chance to get up there, he's got a beautiful station. And 40-meter beam. Kind of think he's putting up an 80 even. A Yagi. Can you imagine how big that is?
Talking about antennas, I heard Chad talking today. He's trying to put up a dipole and get it tuned to the 3.915. That's a popular station over there where he's at. That's one I can pick up. And but he was telling I can't think of his call, David, but he had left about an extra foot or so on each end and was cutting it a half inch at a time, and he was He was nervous every time he cut it. So, but he seems to have it dialed in now.
I got him fixed up. He was so tickled. I'm telling you. Did you get my text message about it?
I'm sure that helped him out a lot.
He was, yeah, I mean, he was like a little kid. He just happy. It just made me so happy, too. I'm glad that he got that dialed in. The only thing is, you give up a multiband antenna that I think was perfectly good. And because I was up there then. But they put up this dipole, and he's happy with that because he's on the frequency he wants to be on. And I think that's grand. It's a learning thing. But, oh, it can get frustrating.
If that's the frequency he wants to dial it in and have it there, then that's what he should do. And make him a lot better. Like I said, you give up a little bit on the multiband, but he wanted it dialed in on that 3915, so can't blame him there. And he seems to have got it done.
You're the cable guy. I watched that idiot at times. I'm telling you, he was at an alligator farm and had a hold of the tail on an alligator the other day here on Modern Marvels or something. No, it was Larry the Cable Guy. It was on Channel 16.6. he's an idiot. Well, I'll tell you. But no, I suggested the Carolina Wyndham, but he had a mystery antenna up, and I know Dave does great with his at W4DJW that he has, and I think Chad had that right. But that's all right. He's too dead on this one now, or he's happy. But I like the Carolina Wyndham. Now, I got the long one, but the 10 through 80 is a great one, too. And the Super Loop is a great antenna. And I can switch from one to the other. If I was willing to sit there and holler at that guy, I'm sure that there'd be no doubt I'd get him, because I kicked it up to about 1,200 watts out. And if that don't do it, nothing will.
If he's not, or at 1,200 watts, you ought to be able to get to him. It's just, like I said, getting over the others and the noise.
It's the skips, Bill. If they're not, you know, you might hear just great, and you go right over him. It's just like Steve was real frustrated. He could hear Bob real good up there in Hendersonville, but he couldn't get back to him. But the thing of it is, he might have gotten to Antarctica just as easy, but you couldn't get to Hendersonville. Well, that's not uncommon. It's just the way the cookie crumbles. And I had 100 watts for 19 years and did just fine. And when we moved down here, I finally got an amp. And I built the first one. And then the second one I bought. And that old Drake L4B was a wonderful amp. I had about $800 in it. And a real nice young man come along, and I let him have it for $7. But everything in that thing that I could redo from the power supply on up was done. And I got great reports on it, and he does too. But that sucker, I think it weighed 43 pounds for the power supply and 46 for the amp. Bill, I can't lift that much. And I thought, well, I'll just get me a solid state one. And that's what I did.
WHM. Yeah, that's a little heavy there. You flirting with 100 pounds, that's something else to move.
Well, it was impossible. I couldn't do it. Just impossible. But boy, I had guys all over wanting to buy that, and I didn't want to sell it. And when I finally got this one, I wanted it to go to somebody that needed it, and he wasn't affluent or nothing like that, and he just tickled death, working fine. He had little learning pains. I kept telling him it was his interface because it worked fine here, and Ariel come over and was here when he was here and showed him it worked fine, and I hooked it up and run it dynamically right here before I'd ever let him have it, and then he got home and it wouldn't work. Well, if you don't interface from an ICOM over to it, when I was interfacing with a Kenwood, it ain't gonna work.
Yeah, it's all those little things that can trip you up. I know the just in the years I've been doing IT work, that makes all the difference in the world, is the way things are set up and the way, like you said, you interface to them. It can be anything from a software setting to hardware.
Well, there's no doubt about it. Bill, I gotta run check the birds before it gets dark, and gotta go in and take my heart pills and hit the rain locker and call her a day. But I've enjoyed visiting with you. I'm showing 84 degrees up here, 59% humidity. You take care, my friend. We'll talk to you down the line in 4WHM and 0TR73.
Tom, you have a great evening, and tell Miss Bernice to have a good one as well. Always enjoy it. 73, be safe, and 4WHM.
And 4DJC.